Let me tell you, understanding a couple things. If obviously it's a wonderful time of year for us to come and to celebrate the greatest birth known to mankind, that of Jesus. But folks, if in your life you don't get him out of the cradle, you're in for a world of trouble. We have a spiritual life that we live once we accept Jesus Christ. And basically, once we accept him, we accept, obviously, the baby in the cradle. That's the miracle birth of Jesus, virgin birth of Jesus. But that baby is going to grow up. And when this baby becomes a man, this man is going to take on a role to be a sacrifice for you and me. He's going to say some marvelous things. We have them written down in our four Gospels. The people that took the time to write down what he said and left us that he would have to go to a cross. And we all know this. He went to the cross for one reason. Not for himself, but for you. And if you watch him on the internet, he went to the cross for you. He left this wonderful place. We just got through studying this again 5 months in the book of Revelation. Just what this wonderful place that Jesus left and God sent his son that one day he would die on the cross. But here's the real deal. My sin went on that cross. He loved me enough to go on that cross. But 3 days later, if he didn't resurrect, the cross would be for nothing. It's all got from the beginning, his birth, his adult life, all of his teachings would go to a cruel, very cruel cross and would die. And some people and some religions preach that he didn't die. Well, of course he died. You can't resurrect from something unless you're dead. Well, of course he died. Went in a tomb for 3 days, and then he resurrected. Wasn't no stone going to be able to hold him. Wasn't no grave going to be able to hold him. And he comes out. And he comes out different than he went in. He comes out the powerful spiritual Jesus. Still chooses to spend 40 days on this earth, giving some last teachings. But then eventually he would ascend in front of these men who loved him and women that loved him. Now they just stand gazed looking. You and I would do the same thing if all of a sudden we see somebody just begin to take off. And they just keep looking and they keep looking. Just like there's just stand back. Finally, an angel said, "Hey, what are you doing? You don't keep looking. You need to go to work. Because this is the way you saw him leave. He's what? Coming again." Now, you get that? That's just an introduction to what salvation's all about. You need to believe all of that. If you believe that, then you're saved. That's what we teach. That's what we preach. If you believe in the virgin birth of Jesus, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension, and sooner or later what we call the rapture and the coming and the second coming of Jesus. That's a package. Now, if you don't believe any of that, then don't believe any of it. You have to believe it all. It's all part of the package of what Jesus is all about. Now, assuming for those who are watching by internet and those who will be listening to me over the next several weeks in this study called "Is Jesus Lord of Your Soul? Lord of Your Life?" Alright? This is what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. And actually, we're going to begin this next Sunday. If you know people who normally don't come but have a computer, please have them go to our website. Because I'm going to be preaching very powerfully on this subject. We all know, because I preach on it all the time, that everything has been fulfilled biblically for the second coming of Jesus Christ. Actually, the first coming we call the rapture, because he's not coming back to earth. We're going to actually meet him where? In the air. We're going to meet him in the sky. We're going to fly ourselves. And we're not going to need an airplane. And we're going to meet him there. It's called the rapture of the church. If you believe in Jesus, you are the church. If you believe in him for your salvation, you are the church. It's not a Baptist thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It's not a Methodist thing. It's a Christ thing. Alright? I believe that with all my heart. Alright? And we're going to meet him. It's called the rapture of the church. And we all know how it goes from there. 7 years we're in heaven, getting our rewards, looking at what all that's going to happen there, going to answer for what we do and what we don't do. We're not going to lose our salvation. We know that, but we do have. We're going to answer for what we do. We're going to be rewarded for what we do. All goes hand in hand. And then, during that 7 years that we're up here with him, there's going to be a lot going on down here. You don't want to be down here. You don't want to have nothing to do with this tribulation time. You don't want nothing. I promise you, you don't want anything to do with it. I've preached on this twice in the last 3 years. You want nothing to do. You do not want to be left behind in any way, shape, or form. And I promise you, you don't want your family left behind. Understand that? Say amen. You don't want that. You want to go where Jesus is. Now, until that time comes, the Bible says that we are responsible for how we act once we become a Christian. And I'm going to show you a lot of scripture about this. Now, I'm not asking you up here, are you saved? That's not what I'm asking, because there's a difference. There's a difference if you're saved and if he's the Lord of your life. Big difference. And I'm going to explain that a lot. He cannot be Lord of your life until you're saved, but you can be saved and him not be Lord of your life. I'm going to explain all that over the next several weeks, because I promise you, we've got people that are members of this church, and I'm not going to judge their salvation, because that's not my place. But I guarantee you, Jesus is not the Lord of their life. You know that, and I know that. I mean, I've got people in my family that tell me that they're saved, and they don't go to church much. But they'll argue and tell you that they're saved, and that's fine. That's between them and God. But you know as well as I do that he's not the Lord of their life. If Jesus is the Lord of your life, you will be in church. Internet world, listen to me very closely. Don't tell me you can't find a church. Not in this country. Now, you may be watching me out of the country somewhere and say they're not as far and few between as they are in the United States of America. But I'm telling you, in the United States of America, even if you're in a nursing home, the church has come to you there. So don't tell me that. I don't hear that. I don't even like to hear a whole lot when they say, well, you know, I'm just too sick to come. You know how many people come in here on walkers? Can't get here unless they're on a walker? Some don't have to come in a wheelchair to get here. There are people, half of the people here are sick. And not admittedly, but I wanted to. But there ain't no perfect body in this church. And I'm telling you, if those of you reentered it, we're not going to do it. If you took that camera and strolled around here, you'd say, my land, look at sick people. But you know, that's what makes who you are. Because you don't let anything stop you.
Amen.
Because I tell people all the time, the more you use the excuse of illness, you will get ill. At the times of my life, because I went over 20 years here where I never missed a Sunday for illness. Then a few years back, about 10 years ago, I had to have open heart surgery for the first time. I missed about 4 weeks of church. But every moment of that time, I hated it. I wanted to be in church with God's people. I get my strength from you. I don't get it from the world. I don't get it from a job. I don't get it from my career. I don't get it from my checking account. I don't get it from anything. I get it from you. That's what church is all about. When Jesus is the Lord of our life, you can't wait to get to church. And if you miss for whatever reason, you got a good excuse. And I'm saying if you're sick, obviously, we don't want you to spread germs. I understand that. I'm talking about people that are sick for 3 months. I had open heart surgery and only missed 4 weeks. They took my chest and split it wide open. I know people that are dying of cancer and don't miss church. So understand something. When we get into this series, is Jesus Lord of your life? There's a difference between salvation and this question. But I promise you, everybody here has the potential to answer this question, yes. Some of you here, I believe, are already could say yes. And then I think there are some on our church rolls that obviously could say no. And those who watch me by internet, I'm going to give you a series of things to understand about. Because we're going to look at stuff like your time. Is he the Lord of your time? Oh boy, you know, a biggie's coming in January. Is he the Lord of your tongue? He's almost had a little heart there. Is he the Lord of your time? Is he the Lord of your talent? What is he the Lord of? In my opinion, he's only Lord if he's Lord of all. The old gospel hymn says, crown him many crowns, Lord of all. Is he the Lord of all, or is Lord of none? Let's take a look at some scripture real quick. All right, Larry, here we go. I'm going to be using scripture that I want you to understand what the Bible says. Here's what James says. Look, be ye what? What's that word?
Doers.
Doers of what?
The word.
And not hearers only. What's this word?
Deceiving.
Anytime you see the word deceiving, it represents Satan. See, Satan can even take God's word and twist it around and get in your mind. To say, you know, you don't have to do all this. It's in the Bible. Who heard like? The Bible's just a book. It's not your guide. It was written by men. It's not your guide. One of the things you have to understand, before we get into anything to find out if he's Lord of your life, you've got to understand he's Lord of the book. And that's called the Bible. And you got to begin there because this is how it's going to tell me how I am to live. How am I going to figure out whether he's Lord of my life unless I understand God's word? And James says, you've got to be doers. Here's what that means. When I read God's word and I study God's word and it tells me something, I need to believe it and then I need to do it. It's that simple. Not anything hard about this. If you believe God's word, and you have to believe God's word for him to be Lord of your life, then you say, whatever it says, I want to do it. And if you don't understand it, you go ask somebody who you know is spiritual, who's studying God's word, and ask the question. I have people ask me questions all the time about the Bible. I've got people that email me all the time about the Bible. And sometimes, the way as I get older, sometimes I don't have the answer just right off the top of my head memorized. I always say the same thing. I promise you, I will give you an answer. Here's the problem with people, and sometimes Christian people. We just want to just give them an answer, just get them off our back. And that's why we've got such a messed up world. Because people give answers in what it's called as opinions. You don't want my opinion. You want an answer through God's word. Any preacher that's on the radio, any preacher that's on TV, any preacher that you listen to, even including me, you don't listen for opinions, you listen for God's word. Do you understand that? You agree with that, Jim Grove? And I know you do. Jim's been a preacher for a long, long, long time. It's not about Jim Crow or Roger Hodge. It's about Jesus Christ and the Bible. Give the Lord a hand of applause. Because when it becomes more about me, that's when the deceiving part comes in. Now let me hear it, Hebrews. Here's what we're going to understand as we look into, is Jesus the Lord of your life? This phrase, looking unto Jesus. Do you see that phrase? I'm going to talk about this one. Looking unto Jesus. Jesus is the answer to any situation you have. Illness, he's the answer. I don't care what that illness may be. It could be physical. It could be mental. It could be spiritual. It could be financial. I don't care what it is. Look unto Jesus. Well, how do I look unto Jesus? It means I look at his word. The only way he can be Lord of your life is you've got to be in his word. Reading it, studying it, at a time when you're not distracted so that you understand. Everybody with me? Say amen.
Amen.
Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter or finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of me. I am a creation of God. Doesn't mean that I'm perfect like God, but I'm a creation from God. Okay? God loves me, but God knows I need a Savior. He died for me. I say this all the time. If I was the only person living, he would have still went to the cross. If you were the only person living, he would have still went to the cross for you. Because he is the author and finisher. It means this book that we're going to talk a lot about, God's Word, the Bible. He's the author of it. And at the very end of it, he's the finisher of it. We've talked about how we're going to finish. Oh my goodness. The new Jerusalem. The new earth. The streets of gold. The city of God. It's promised to who? To everybody? No. Not everybody. Anyone who will accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's your new home. And I don't care if you live in a shop now, live in a trailer, or live in a mansion. It ain't going to be nothing compared to what it's going to be like when you get to heaven. Nothing is going to compare. No matter how you've suffered, no matter what you've gone through or what's happened in your life, nothing will compare to what Jesus did for you and what heaven is going to be like, because he is the perfecter and finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him, what? Endured the cross, which means the cross was not his final job. It was part of it. It was in that step-by-step process. He didn't jump over the cross. He endured the cross. We'll say that again. He didn't jump over it. He endured it, which means he was willing to die in the most cruel form and fashion known to mankind at this time in history. He didn't skip forward. Oh, he could have, but he didn't do that. He endured. And he did it for you, and he did it for me. And if you're watching me by the internet, he did it for you. Give the Lord a hand of applause. He endured the cross, despising the shame. Man, it was shameful to die on the cross. It was shameful. But it didn't make no difference to him. It didn't make no difference how much pain was involved. It didn't make any difference how shameful it was. He was going to do it because he loved you. And now has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now we start off by looking at Jesus, and then we end up that he is at the right hand of God. The right hand of God. The right hand of God. He's there right now in the right hand of God for all of those who are looking to him. And I'll tell you why it's so great to understand he's the Lord of your life. Because one thing is the Lord of your life. Is it Jesus or is it Satan? The only difference in that phrase, if Satan is Lord of your life, the L is a small L. It just means that you're more on his side than you are Jesus' side. Now, if Jesus is Lord of your life, that's a capital L. Understand that? It's a capital L. But one is your Lord. One you serve. Two homes. Satan. Devil, hell. Jesus, Lord, heaven. Your choice. Now, when we get into this series, understand one thing. When I say he's Lord of your life, I mean, this is daily. This is daily. Everywhere you go, whatever you do, you take Jesus with you. And from the tongue to the tithe, is he Lord? We got to ask the question. We're going to walk through this series to understand. Again, if you got family who won't come hear me, almost everybody on this planet's got a computer. Please ask them to go to the website and say, hey, if you won't go to church, will you just go listen? Will you just go listen? Is he Lord of your life? Because you see, I have to answer that question myself. Is he Lord of Rocky's life? Not always was he the Lord of my life. I think I was saved. But it's a big jump from being saved to him being my Lord. Are we willing to take the jump? Are we willing to take the journey? Is he truly Lord? Because let me tell you this in closing, he deserves it. He deserves it.
Amen.
He deserves to be the Lord because of everything he did for you, everything that he has done, and everything he will do. He deserves to be the Lord of your life. And everybody said,
amen.
Stay with me. Every head bowed and every eye is closed. Come in the name of Jesus.